I'm Amy.
I'm Delia.
And I'm Wendell. And welcome to
Yes
But
Why
Podcast. Yeah.
That's funny because, like, you, as far as the shitting yourself thing goes, not to not to always bring that up, but that might happen today.
Always.
Oh yeah, but taking it back to shitting yourself, I know that we're talking about, you know, Syria now, but that only happens to me when I'm tripping. I don't know, like when I trip, like mushrooms or something, I get that, like, it's like a wet thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I'm so relaxed right now, I could have peed, you know, like I always think I peed my pants, you know what I mean? Like, but it's really like also, my body will sweat when it's cold and stuff, like my body doesn't react
to
temperatures and stuff properly, so like I have these weird, where it's just like wet here and dry everywhere else kind of thing, and I don't know what that's about. But, like, sometimes I'm just like, if I peed myself, but then I immediately am okay with peeing myself if that happened, you know? It's like, whatever.
Yeah, because, like, I already did it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Done.
Sometimes I just pee myself.
No reason to cry over shit pants, you know what I mean?
You know? Or piss pants.
Or piss pants.
You just prepare yourself.
Just, like, carry extra underwear.
Yeah, you want, like, you always want to be prepared.
I forgot what, I was reading something, or I probably wasn't reading anything, I just, like, heard it, but it was like,
I just like people to think I read.
A homeless man said this to me.
keep a spare shirt, like, in your car, and I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna start doing that, I'm gonna carry a book, and, like, water and shit. And I don't have a shirt in my car.
Wait, where does the book come into play?
Oh,
I feel like I barely understand what the shirt and the water have to do with each other.
Water makes sense.
So you're saying if you get sweaty,
what happens?
So if you get sweaty and you're saying hydrate pre too.
I don't know why I mentioned the water. I think it's just like things that you should carry with you because you never know what'll happen.
Fair enough.
Like to just be prepared. I think the thing
you should definitely,
like,
if we're being prepared, you should have not a shirt. Underwear. You need a second pair of underwear. I'm sorry. I know that everyone's not just shitting themselves all
I got
the
one
time.
Of those gross stories. I've had to, like, bail on a pair. You know, like, so that's,
oh my
that's
God,
totally...
I didn't do that too.
All right, good. Okay, I'm glad. I was in the company of ladies.
Before you tell this story, I have to let you know that I hit record.
Oh!
I just wanted you to know before you said
Amy.
So
I'm sorry. That's fine. You know what?
No,
sneaky records.
No, I just... Okay. We were talking, and then I was like, well, we could talk about talking, or we could just talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, let's do it. We can also, at a certain point, talk about talking, because no one ever has to listen to this first
Well,
one,
my
know.
Name's Adam Waitman. No,
No.
No, I'm sure he has this story exactly, too. But this happened right after I moved to Austin. Right after I moved to Austin, and this has never happened to me before, and I take it as a sign of, like, aging, but you just... Because you've always heard those comedians say, like, yeah, you misjudge a fart or something, you know? And I was in extreme PETA to do them a disservice right now and tell this story. I was in extreme PETA and just had a fart that I just thought was a fart, and it was more. There was more to the story. And this is the thing, is like it happened and I didn't immediately just run away. You know, like I kinda was just like sort of shuffled a bit, kind of moved some things, and I was like, no, this is new. This is a new thing. So I ran to the bathroom and looked, and yeah, like it wasn't like I'd completely like kindergarten
like
shit myself,
thing.
Just like ruined the whole mess downstairs. But like, it was enough that like I couldn't continue to be in, you know, like I had to like do something and get it out. So I had a pocket knife and I actually like cut the sides of my underwear and like pulled it out and just left them in the bathroom at Extreme PETA, and then went and ordered my food because I didn't even get that far into Extreme PETA.
Oh, I was gonna.
I washed my hands and like
after.
I got really. No. But I was like, I'm not gonna let that stop me from my Extreme PETA. I was like, I came in here.
Can I tell you something about your story? The whole time when you said Extreme PETA, I thought you were talking about like the animal lovers, like you were like really into PETA.
Oh god, okay.
So I was like, okay.
I was getting really hardcore about PETA. Never has that been a part of my life. I meant literally the restaurant Extreme PETA, right beside Jimmy John. Well, it's P. Terry's now. It doesn't exist, so I guess it's fine for me to It's where Pete Terry's is, but Extreme Pito was right beside Jimmy John's right there, like 6th and Congress.
No, I actually like the idea that there's a foundation or an organization that's not just PETA, it's Extreme PETA.
Yes.
Like, it's like, hey, we're not just here to protect animals, we're seriously here to protect some animals.
PETA is extreme enough on its own. Like, PETA is like a terrorist organization almost. They bomb laboratories and like they do like genuine collateral damage.
Maybe that's what Extreme PETA does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe PETA's like, don't shine this light on us. It's Extreme PETA. Those really mean jerks, you know? Like,
God damn it, we're always getting the rap for Extreme PETA.
Yeah. Like, I remember it was like this. Literally, it's all trickling down. We're really just hugging pigs over here, telling them it's going to be all right. No, like the founder of PETA was like basically said that, or asked the question, like, if it took the life of one rat to cure AIDS or cancer or something like that, like, would you be all right with that? And she was like, fuck no. Like, she's like one of those people that was like, absolutely not. Like, PETA has no like gray area in their like understanding of human relation. Like, animal lives are almost more important just because of like what we've done to them. You know, like, we owe them a few years of supremacy or something that they're never gonna get.
There's like reparations that are gonna happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Animal reparations.
When are we gonna have our first bunny president?
I'm pretty sure they're gonna be here on the earth when we're not, so right. We can just relax.
Yeah, I mean, and
we're
other ones
die
are coming
out
up
way before bunnies.
You know.
Or roaches.
Bunnies know to hide. You know, like bunnies got the game figured out.
I know.
Okay?
I mean, groundhogs and roaches and Twinkies will be all that's left.
Oh, man. It sounds like a magical land.
Sorry.
No.
I'm
like,
picturing it.
You looked off into nothing. Like,
right?
Oh, what a world that would be. Oh, shit. You know, I actually waited on the guy that brought back Twinkies at Ritz Chris. You know how, like, Twinkies went away for a little bit because, mm-hmm. Hostess shut down?
And then Bimbo Bakeries.
Yeah, he was one of the four. He was, yeah. Like, it was this agreement between, like, four guys.
Are you saying four while holding up three fingers?
Not including him. There were three other guys.
Okay.
So.
You're like,
and I was holding
four?
Them. Yeah, four guys. All no, right. Sorry. Four guys that all threw in however many million to bring back Twinkies. And, like, I waited on him like a week before Twinkies came back, and it was like one of those things where he was like, I'm the guy! I don't know, like he was like really proud of himself.
Is that what he left you as like a tip?
He left me a huge fucking tip.
Oh my god. Twinkies are coming back. Just a heads up, and you're like, cool. Asshole, like, things.
It's like, no money. Just, I got your Twinkies back. That's like all he left.
Thanks. $100 was 10% of what you've got, but you're giving me nothing but a suggestion that I should buy a Twinkie when you bring it back. Thanks, asshole.
I was never a Twinkie guy in the first place.
I don't really like a Twinkie. I'll eat one, but, you know.
Yeah, I like, fudge rounds. I like chocolate, or, like, the eclairs, I guess, or...
Fudge rounds are amazing. I'll drink milk for a fudge round. I'm not a huge milk.
So just not a huge milk...
I never looked into this, but the thought of it creeped me out. My friend was taking some classes at, like college or something.
College.
And then,
you know, whatever they call it.
Right. What is it?
I think that's right.
Is that place people go to waste their time?
And he was saying, like, they had to watch some, like, documentary about, maybe it was food, I don't know, like, that Food Inc. or whatever. He was like, yeah, milk is, like, really disgusting because half the time, like, they keep giving cows shit to make them think that they're, like, pregnant so they can keep producing milk. He's like, and half the time, it's not even milk, it's just pus.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, what the fuck, dude? No! And I just have never been able to look at milk the same way again.
Well, it is weird that we're the only animals that drink the milk of another animal. I think that's, like, the thing that somebody told me that. I mean, yeah. No other animals, like, milk other animals.
I don't know, cats like it. They just don't, I guess, can't get it themselves.
You know, you can't really, like, give a cat, like, a whole lot of milk.
No, you're
know,
right. Like, you're not supposed to, like it a lot.
They're all about it. Cats are such fickle animals. I fucking hate cats. Like, they get the runs at just, like, bad vibes coming off of you. It's true.
I love cats, and I have a lot of them. I have 2.5 right now. The half is a stray cat.
Is the front half or the back half?
It's all, but we sometimes have her inside, sometimes we make her go outside.
I see.
Because she's a stray cat that's decided we love her. And we do kind of love her, but she keeps pooping everywhere in the house, and we're like, hey, here's the litter box, you should handle it. And then she does it for a little while and we forget. And then all of a sudden we're like, ah! And so, yeah, there was trouble. So now she's not allowed in the house for a couple of days because she pooped somewhere. My husband gets real mad. Yeah. Rouse her outside. But, you know, I like cats. And she's the only one I've ever had that, like, gave us this much trouble. And in reality, like, I could just leave her outside because she was a stray cat. She's from the streets.
Yeah.
I could just give her back to the streets. But, you know...
I like that you said she decided you loved her, because that's pretty much how it is. You know, like, a cat shows up and just lays the rules out, you know? Like, I had to wait on my... wait. Oh, that's what my life is. I wait on things. No, I had to take care of my roommate's cat because we went to Nepal for, like, 6 weeks. And I was just at war with this thing for 6 weeks. Like, it was just this emotional battle between me and her because, A, it wasn't enough for me to take care of her and feed her and clean her litter box. Like, I had to show her as much love as he did. And sometimes I would come home and she would poop somewhere in protest of something that I don't know about. And... And then I was expected to, like, coddle her and love her on top of all just the keeping her alive part, where it's like, that's, I'm sorry, you were rescued by me, like, what, or, like, by him, you know? It's like, what else do you really demand, can you demand of me other than you not dying because I took you out of a cage, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, cats are like anything. They want to snuggle if they want to snuggle, or they don't. Like, I have one cat that doesn't want to hang out with us ever. Like, she's just like, yeah, thanks for the food.
Yeah.
I'll see you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the other one. My other cat, like, literally lays on top of me. Like, and will come up to me while I'm working. Like, I'm on at the desk and, like, climbs on top of my chest. I'm like, hey, wait, doing something right now. So, I mean, they're just like people. There's, like, some of them really want you to snuggle with them and some of them don't. And, I mean...
They're almost like people. They're enough like people to where they have, like, expectations and sort of attitudes. But then they're not enough like people to understand, like, the full effort on your end, you know? Like,
oh, no, absolutely not.
You know, like, there's no, like, well, you did a good job today. I know you had a rough day. I don't need you to, you know, like, I don't need you to constantly be on top of me.
Yeah.
I won't shit on the floor, or I won't shit on something you really like in the apartment. That was, like, her thing. She knew shit I liked, and then she'd go find it and poop on it. Because I would, I wasn't him. And
see, that's
like, malicious.
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
She gets it.
Right! Okay, and everybody's like, no, cats are great. And I'm like, alright, well, this is the one monster cat. This is the Hitler cat.
You know, but cats are not nice sometimes. Like, my cousin, there's a cat that we actually found in front of the theater, and I gave to my cousin Georgia, and she's a bitch. Like, she just yells at you and scratches at you all the time. Like, whenever I go into the house, she's just like, meow! Like, and I'm like, what? I'm great. Like, you should love me. I'm the best cat mother.
Was it,
and
like a kitten? Like a little kitten?
Yeah,
when you
a little
found
kitten.
It?
And so, like, you know, all the love, all the taking care, like, she's had all the things, you know, just different. You know, it's like, like between Brandy, the stray cat that we have in the house, she's very snuggly. She keeps to herself most of the time. Sometimes she swats at the other cats. But other than the weird pooping thing, and by the way, hilariously, she's the tiniest cat. She poops, like, 3 times her own size. Like, it's impossible how that's a thing. But no other cat that we have has pooped such humongous amounts. So we're like, clearly it's her.
Right.
That's like, the other thing about cats is the whole having to scoop their litter out of sand thing. Like, there's no dignified way.
Better than outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with a dog, it's just like... Like, Ziploc baggie, you pick it up.
Maybe you have to, like, go outside and, like, hang out with it on a leash and, like, walk it. You know, there's a guy every single day in my apartment complex. Recently, I've been dropping my husband off at work at, like, 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. And when I come back to the house at, like, 7:30, this man is walking his dog whilst drinking a beer every single morning. And I was like...
Is he starting his day, or is he towards the end?
It's hard to know.
Like,
yeah, it's hard to know.
Like, that's really... interesting.
Some people have to.
Older and disheveled, so
okay.
It's hard to know.
Yeah, some people have to start their day out like that if they want to, like, not have the shakes and shit, you know?
Sure.
Like, some people gotta, like...
Right.
Like, I remember I worked in Clemson. I worked at a Mellow Mushroom for a little bit. And, I'd get there at, like, 6:30 in the morning, and the manager would have like, a Miller Lite in his hand. But, like, he was wearing, like, a polo shirt and glasses. He didn't really look like his life was, like, shit, but... He was drinking like
just
it was.
Just because a man wears a polo shirt doesn't mean his life is lovely.
In
that's
Clemson,
why he was
does.
Wearing the polos, you know? He was, like, trying to make it
keep
look
this
like...
this facade. Yeah, yeah. Everything's all right, you know? Kind
of. Yep.
Bastards.
See, I don't know. I just like... I like a dog's just, like, upfront stupidness. Like, it's just so... Like, dogs are dumb, but they love us. And I think that's more important than being smart and making you earn it, because it's like cats are... I don't know. I like, it's just this one bad run-in with a cat that I'm just like, never again. Like, I say, like, he saved you from the gas chamber, you should be forever grateful. That's what I think.
I think it's... I had cats, and I liked it because I already don't like showing affection or telling people that I like them when I do. So it's like having a cat was like, cool, like, we can cuddle for 5 minutes. You're done. I'm done. See you later. But, like, the dog, like, dogs are like, ugh. Like, hey, like, what are we doing now? What are you, like, what are you yep. going to do later? Like, can we hang out? And it's like, stop.
See, that's why I want, like, I like bulldogs. I like bigger dogs that get tired easily. Because, like, I like a bulldog or a mastiff or something.
Aren't
like
those
things-
the kinds of dogs that were made by science that are now, like, just sad and in pain all the time?
Oh, well, yeah. All dogs are like that, though. But, yeah, that's an example. Like, English bulldogs, because they've been inbred so much for, like, the sake of keeping, like, pure breeds going and stuff, that, yeah, their faces are, like, falling off. Same with, like, pugs and everything. But they're also slow, and they're adorable to look at least in my head. But I mean, like a bull mastiff. I like a bull mastiff. Something
just
that's still
sounds
healthy.
Horrifying. Like, yeah, just no. The idea of all of it.
Well, I mean, that's the case with all dogs, though. I mean,
yeah, like
all
winter
dogs.
Dogs. Like, the winter dogs are so sad. I liked them a lot when I was, like, 15, 16.
Yeah.
I wanted one. The only dog I was like, that. If I ever got a dog, it would be, like a Dachshund, I think that's what they're called, or
Dachshund.
Or
Dachshund.
Something. But, like, wiener dogs. And
yeah.
And then my friend has one, and he was telling me, like, oh, yeah, no, you don't want one, because... they're just in pain all the time. They get arthritis.
Yeah.
Like, they can't do anything. Like, once they reach, like, a certain age, they can't, like, jump or, like, run or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, that's
they've got, like,
horrible.
Tiny legs.
Well, I mean,
it,
like...
It hurts them to, like, deal with life because their body is too big for these tiny legs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the same with, like, Great Danes, even. Like, Great Danes, they break really easily as far as... They Great Danes are owned by rich people, so they're, like... I always compare them to, like, rich people cars, like Ferraris and stuff. Like,
uh-huh.
Like, they're expensive, and they're sort of a... Like, a show of, like, how affluent you are. But yeah, like their kidneys fail really easily, like just because their bodies are so long that it, like they have a hard time, like their hearts have a hard time getting blood to one end and the other, and like they fall apart, like they like really quick, and it's really expensive to keep them up.
Yeah,
guys, I feel like the entirety of the dog population is like why we shouldn't do like genetic specificity, like. Dogs are eugenics, but with a dog. And
yeah.
And I feel like maybe we've learned that lesson? Like, golly, they're cute, and maybe someday with eugenics they could make the perfect-looking human, but wouldn't that person probably also have asthma and allergies to everything and, like, be half-broken inside? Like, probably.
I can, yeah, totally. But, I mean, like, dogs kind of, they're bred with, like, they're bred for, like, a physical aspect. You know, like,
yeah.
Like dogs, like, any breed of dog was bred that way because, like bulldogs, they like the no nose, they like the jowls, you know, things like that, or the dachshunds, like, one dog was born kind of long and had shorter legs, and they just kept breeding that with its mom or whatever over and over and over again until they just kept making, and that's the thing, is, like, it takes inbreeding, because, like, you always have to, like, make that dog fuck its parent in order to keep those genes really tight, and... Yeah, like, with eugenics, it would be funny. It would be funny if eugenics was
so
geared
gross.
Towards, like, making people adorable. Like, making people really cute, I think, as opposed to just, like, some super race of whatever, like, skin color anybody thought, you know, it's like...
Wasn't that the idea, though? I mean, I guess.
Yeah, it's like, oh, little button noses and, you know, like, freckles, but not too many freckles, because that's weird. It looks painful.
Looks painful. The worst.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It just looks like it itches.
So before we
doesn't itch.
Before we turn into a like all of a sudden we were talking about Nazis.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just right on that cusp. We're just gonna talk about Nazis.
Yeah, I was like, let's.
You ever think Hitler shit his pants?
All right. since we already did the shit talk and now we're at the Hitler, I think it's time to maybe have a business conversation ish,
sure.
And then
okay,
figure out what's going on. So before we were though you've convinced me 100% to be a cat person. But
nobody ever says they have a cat. I don't know why my roommate only has, everybody says, hey, I have cats.
Yeah.
Like you have to have a herd of them.
I had two.
You had two? You have two and a half.
I keep saying that because it's like the children, right?
How do they deal with each other? I'm still wondering. Like the cats themselves, do they really, are they friends or are they separate entities in the house?
It depends on who else is around. So like when Brandy, the stray cat, is at the house, the other two cats get along real well because they're both like against her. They're all like, what's up, bitch? Get out of here. We don't like you. And so they're together. So they're always like, But then, like, if she's out of the house for a while, all of a sudden they're, like, rolling around fighting each other. I'm like, what is happening right now? Yeah. So I really just think that they like drama. And, in fact, I was going to say earlier, we were talking about, like, the kind of guys that I like. Because I was telling them how I hate Jack Johnson.
Okay.
Is it Jack Johnson?
Yes. Yeah. And she's like, with you.
Like the like flip-flops, jeans, hoodie.
He's like barefoot.
Yeah,
he
no,
doesn't even
all of his songs, just he's like, blah, 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 blah. I just want to punch him and murder him. Like, I just want to hurt him. But it's because I've never liked a guy that was like simple and dumb and cute. Like, you know, when like, I don't know, when I was growing up, there were always like blonde surfer skater dudes that were always just kind of like, hey, you're real pretty. You want to go out sometime? And I was like, no. And then it'd be like, and then there'd be another guy and he'd be all like, I don't know, I kind of hate myself and probably I should like never talk to people. And I like have this song that I wrote and I'm like, yep, let's do it. Like, the weirder, the worse you are, the more like withholding.
So you're a gambler. You're a gambler on the,
I'm not a gambler. I know that I'm good at it and I will get the love. So I just go for a challenge because I'm all like, yeah, I'm good at this. You're going to love me eventually.
So
let's just give up. Sure.
Yeah, there's so many like cons to deal with, which I mean, I think that's living, you know, because like like crazy girls, like.
Great.
Fun and exciting. It's an adventure, you know, like I know what you mean, like as far as like. The only person that's ever punched me in the face is a girl I dated, and I was like, I knew that was coming down the line, but it's good to have gotten that, you know, like, way early on. You know, it's just like, you know, like, we were talking about Xanaxes, that was like her jam, and she just straight, like, man-punched me in the mouth one time.
You know, if you're taking Xanax a lot, then you probably have a lot going on. I feel like if you're a super downer person, like, if you're doing heroin, like, you must be way up when you're sober. I don't know.
Heroin, like, at least breeds a creativity. I don't know, like.
Have you hung out with people on heroin?
No, but I mean, like,
I'll
a city
honest,
that's ravaged
I
by
have,
heroin?
And no.
Well, I mean, like, I'm sorry, I guess I think, like, the classic idea of heroin, like
jazz?
A city, yes, jazz
oh, like,
music.
Like, opium and the fucking, like,
the
boys,
like rustling, yeah, that's, okay. Or at least painters. Painters do heroin, you know, like.
You ever hung out with painters?
They're lame. They're stupid. I know, but at least, but the thing is they're at least putting something up. They're making something. At least like people on Xanaxes, they're not doing anything except just like bumping into shit and doing nothing. You know.
Part of what I think is interesting too is that we're different ages. We're different like things that we're doing. I don't even know what.
How old are you?
Either
25.
Okay, so we're not like fast.
How old are you?
27.
Oh, okay.
I'm 37. So I got a generation on you.
All right.
And that's, I mean, I guess, technically.
X and Z, or we
are
Y?
You,
we're Y, well, I guess.
I think
we're
no,
Y. Why?
I was never X, ever. I'm only X now because I found out that they only do generations and 30-year jumps, so it's baby boomer, generation
we're
X,
the same.
And millennial, so we are the same. If you were born before, like,
we're
85
born,
or something, 85?
I was born in 90.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you were born in the 80s at least, I feel like that's a perspective that we all share. Like, and that locks in like a 10-year group. But, you know, like, 90s.
But I mean, you know what? No, but I find it interesting because, and my life is all about meeting different people of different ages and that kind of thing. And, like, one of the things that sort of, I don't know, makes it an interesting journey for me is that, like, I get to see people who are doing what I did 10 years ago and be like, oh. Good, okay. Yeah. That seems interesting. Like, how do I help that person do more than I did? Or, like, how do I give that person, like, an opportunity that maybe they didn't know they wanted or something like that? Like, I don't know. And then I'm always searching for my own opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like, figuring out whatever that is. But I'm also kind of like, I want the journey of it, someone to be aware of it. Like, it's like, if we came in here and it was like 1 week and it's like, I had an audition this week. And it's like, yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm. Like, how'd it go? Shitty.
Yeah.
Like, that's legitimate. Like, the idea of this journey that we're doing, like, I did 12 stand-up sets. How'd they go? I don't know. I think I said the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Great. Where are we in the figuring it out? I like the idea that it's about artistic.
That's what I thought. And then I was going to mention, I didn't know if it was too soon to mention it, like our awkward, like, conversation. It was awkward for me because I was like, fuck, like, I do want to do this, but, like, I have to meet her because she'll be pissed at me. Mm-hmm. And just, like, scheduling is such a big, horrible shit
so
pile.
Terrible.
Yeah,
at
I brought my book so that we could figure something out.
Yeah, like,
out.
Google always does it for me, and if it doesn't, I'm not going to be there probably, or else I'm going to remember it like 10 minutes before and have to like make up some excuse.
Yeah, like I have to, like, I just started using Google Calendar like a week ago or two, and I'm like, I fucking love you, because it's like, leave now, you'll make it on time. Like,
yeah, thank God for people like Nathan Ehrman, like, who like send me these things. Like all of a sudden I'm getting these things where it's like just a Google Calendar thing. All you gotta do is say yes, no, or maybe, and then it puts
what?
It in there. Right? So like, and that's the thing, is you just gotta find somebody to do that work for you.
I can do the Google Calendar.
Yeah. So it's
this
like,
this is literally by the way, calendars and Google Sheets are pretty much my bag at the theater.
Yeah, like I'm using them all now, and it's like, why did I not do this before? Yeah. Like, and it's free, and like, it's amazing.
Yeah, all of a sudden I'm paying off speeding tickets. Like, it's crazy. You know, like
you're organized.
Because I put it in there, you know? I'm just like, all right, do it by this day, and you're going to be fine. And I'm like, oh hey,
isn't that lovely?
Yeah. As opposed to just finding out a week later that I have a bench warrant, you know, like that kind of thing. So it's like, you know, just for speeding tickets.
Oh, the bench warrants.
Yeah, hit and runs, things like that. So
I've never been arrested, but
really?
Really, you're surprised?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say
like,
we live adventurous.
Really?
Yeah. We live adventurous lives. We've talked about this.
No,
maybe
I mean,
not even like for something you did, but maybe being an accomplice to something is kind of what I was thinking of.
I'm never
like an accomplice caught. Where you're just nearby.
No, I've done plenty of things
that
I should have been arrested for. However, I've never been arrested. I think just because, A, I'm lucky, and B, I keep it pretty simple. The reason why you'll notice that I don't drink so often is because when I first moved to town, I lived with a friend of mine and then got an apartment after I got the job, blah, blah, blah. It's my birthday, and my birthday is July 5th. So July 4th, everyone has all these parties. So I went out to a party, and I got wasted. And I got in my car, and I drove home. And on the way home, I got pulled over. And I was like, oh no, you're going to jail right now. And lo and behold, the blessed thing about it all was that turns out my registration was also out. So they talked about that. Hey, your registration's out. Well, golly, it is. Yep. Super sorry about that. We'll take care of it. Even had paperwork about how I was like about to take care of it or whatever. And they were like, great.
Nice.
I gave my ID to the cop, who was a woman, and I was all like, oh no. I wasn't sure if it was going to go well or badly. I don't know. And then she goes away with the thing. She comes back. She's like, oh, listen, I just saw that it's your birthday. So I see that you're trying on the registration thing. Why don't you go ahead and head on out? And I know.
Jesus
right?
Christ.
Right? I leave, and of course, I gotta pull out before her, you know, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And when you get pulled over, you're like, I gotta leave now. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Checking the mirror.
Like, I'm like, oh, how drunk am I? Because I am drunk. I'm in this moment. And thankfully, I wasn't too far from home. I drove home, never drank. like when I drink, it's like I'm sleeping here at this place.
Yeah,
or
right.
It's like there's a person coming to pick me up. Like, I never do it anymore because that was so close. That was the closest I ever got, and then I was like, nope, no way.
So, can I tell you my drinking and driving story?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so this happened last year, like last summer, and I had gotten out of like a relationship. Like, we had lived together, and then we broke up, and we were still living together.
Ooh.
And I was like, this is horrible. Like, so after we weren't living together anymore, I was just, like, drinking, just, like, going out and just, like, getting drunk because I was sad. And so I lived in Irving, and I was hanging out in Dallas.
So crazy. We'll talk about that in a minute. Oh, okay. I've totally lived in Irving. I'm going to be crazed if it turns out you went to the same college as I went to. Go.
Oh, so it's, like, 25 minutes apart from each other.
Yeah.
And my work schedule at the time was like 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. So I had to be at work fucking early. So anyway, I'm in Dallas and it's like 2 a.m. and I was like drinking a lot and like I was so drunk and my friend was with me. I was like, yeah, man, I think I'm gonna go. Like, probably gonna be late to work tomorrow. He's like, yeah, man, all right, we'll see you later. Cause he was like trying to talk to some girl. And so I was thinking like, I probably shouldn't drive. Nah, I'll be fine, right? And so I get in my car and like I'm driving home and I think it's a good idea to call my ex-boyfriend cause I'm fucking drunk. And then I was like, no, like don't. So I like threw my phone in my car. And then I woke up the next day and I was in bed and it was 10 a.m. and I had like 3 missed calls, like 12 text messages. And I was like, how the what just like, what happened? And so I call my boss, talk to her. She's pissed, but thankful that I'm alive. And then I'm like, why do I? And something is just telling me like, go check your car, go check your car. And so I like walk out and I look at my car and there's just like giant dent on the side of my car. And I'm like, what the fuck did I do? Like, I do not remember driving home. Wow. At
oh my
all.
God.
And I was just like, I am never doing, cause I don't even know if I hit anybody, if what happened. It was embarrassing. It's still on my car. Kind of like a reminder to like,
oh.
Like don't fuck up.
I want to see that. I want to like, when
you'll
I get out of here.
Yeah,
yeah. I was
you'll
say,
see
I'll, like,
it. It's,
wow.
It's just like, and I've never done it since.
That's so crazy. No, okay, the reason why I reacted so intensely, I went to college at University of Dallas in Irving. And so I spent all of my formative years in Irving and Dallas. So I also have a horrifying drunk breakup story at Dallas Irving. And I was like, whoa, you're telling my story. Even the crash of car. And I just have to, I was like, I have to tell you this. So I broke up. I'm sorry. I know.
How are you guys
like,
getting away from with these crimes? Like, Jesus Christ. All right, no, I mean, I want to hear the story.
This wasn't me. Years after college, I redated. Now, my husband went to college with me, too. But it wasn't him that I'm dating. It was my other college boyfriend. I redated in my early 30s. And I moved to Dallas to live with him and whatever. We lived together for 2 years. Then we broke up. I had to stay in the house because I couldn't leave because I didn't have any money to go anywhere. So we had to still live with each other. And we were broken up. And it sucked. Finally, my girlfriends here in Austin were like, just get in your car and come to our house. Like, you can stay with us until you get on your feet. And that's what I ended up doing. But when I set a date for leaving, because, like, we were destitute. I had no money. I mean, just the gas to get from Dallas to Austin was going to cost me, like, a lot of money, and I didn't have it. And this was the kind of guy, he was just, like, drunk all the time. Totally crazy drunk. He played beautiful, beautiful guitar, but no one will ever hear it. It's the saddest thing I can ever imagine in my life, that he's just like a waste of a beautiful musician. And that's what I think of when I think of all those like crazy drugged out painters and whatnot. I'm like, fuck them. Fuck them, because like they're the ones who are just like beautifully like putting out this fabulousness and it fails. Anyway, the day I'm supposed to leave, I'm like, okay, I'm going to load up the car. I have everything, like, staged at the door because we didn't live in a nice neighborhood, so I wasn't going to pack it the night before.
Uh-huh.
So I, like, have it staged at the door. We both have to go to work. I, like, am in the bathroom. He leaves for work. I walk out the door. He's taken my car. And I'm like, what the fuck? Right? So he took my car, so I can't leave. So I have to wait till he gets home from work. So I'm just sitting there. I, like, go run a few errands with his car, and I'm just waiting there, like, steaming real mad. And he's not going to be home until like 5 p.m. And I'm like, ugh, great. I have to wait another day because of this asshole. Anyway, around noon, he rolls in with my car. And when he rolls in, the whole front of my Toyota is like bashed like somebody took a baseball bat to it. the like sides of it are like dented in. The like whole hood is like bashed. One of the like lights is broken. I'm like, what the hell happened? He gets out of the car. He's trashed.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. Must have happened in a parking lot at work. And I was like, no, it absolutely didn't. Why are you even home right now? And he's like, they made me go home because I was drunk. Really? What a fucking surprise. Like, you're home because your boss was like, hey, by the way, you're super drunk. Maybe you should go home. That's never good, right? Right. And then somehow you crashed up the car and then brought it home to me? And he was like, I didn't do it. I don't know what happened. So I was like, ugh. So then he's an asshole. He just goes in the house and passes out. I load up my car and I leave. I left with the crashed up car because I was like, I can't do this. I cannot do it. Flash forward to 3 weeks later, I'm living in Austin. I get a phone call. Hi, this is the Dallas Police. We have a record of your car being in a car accident, and we need you to deal with that. And I was like, ha ha. And he's like, I'm sorry? What a reaction. And I was like, yeah, I'll give you the name of the person who did it. I tell him the whole story, and he's like, no way. And I was like, yeah, he definitely... No, I didn't tell him that he was drunk because I didn't want him to get in huge, huge trouble. He got in enough trouble.
Yeah.
I was like, he took the car out, and then he came back, and he was crashed up. And he was like, oh, no. And I was like, yep, heartbroken. Bashed up the car. And he's like, that's horrible. So I give him his phone number, and I called... you know, the guy, Chris, and I'm like, hey, man, just so you know, the cops are going to call you because you crashed my car and you have to pay some money for it, but I didn't tell him you were drunk. So just shut up about it, all right?
Yeah.
Like, either you're going to go to jail forever, or you can just pay some fines on the fact that the car... But, so I'm in Austin, and they're like, can we see the car? And I'm like, well, I'm far away. I don't know what to tell you. So I took photos... I don't even think we had phones like this at the time. But whatever, I took photos of it and emailed
had
it to them.
And then they had those photos developed at a Walmart.
And then I mailed them in an envelope. No, I think there was like a camera and I like plugged it into a computer and then like I emailed photos. Anyway, he was like, there's no way that the accident that I'm investigating could have caused all that damage. He's like, clearly your car was in multiple car accidents. I said, oh, well, if you have any unsolved ones, you go ahead and give me a call, huh? And he's like, yeah, I probably will. And I was like, you have a great day. And he's like, good luck in Austin. And I was like, see ya.
Just all these cold cases coming back up all of a sudden.
Right. They're like, that's this guy. That's this guy. That's why I've never heard of him again. That's why he's not on social media. He's probably in jail.
Wow. You guys. Wow. You want to hear my driving story?
Yes.
Yep.
I was 16. It was New Year's Eve. I had thrown a party. And this girl that, like, I was like hopeless romantic for her or whatever. She and like totally fucked me over. Like she was my worst enemy in high school. I did not see it at the time. She left, had somebody take her home, and then she called me and said she wanted to come back. So I was like, all right, I'll come get you. You know, just after drinking so much tequila or whatever, I was like, I'll come get you, and this will, we can party some more. And so I get in my car after my friends really.
Are you Eastern European?
Yeah, all of a sudden I'm so drunk on tequila that I'm Ukrainian. All of a sudden I'm coming for you. No, you wait there. I show up on my reindeer-driven sleigh. No, like so I get in my shitty Festiva after my friends like sit on the hood and try and make me not go. And I go get her. And then like half a mile away from my house, I get pulled over because it's like 2 a.m. on a New Year's Eve. And I'm driving a car the size of a dryer, like a washing machine. That's like how small this car is.
Yeah.
And I get pulled over, and he knocks on my window, and then I don't know. The law works. That's what happened. I got taken to jail. like I had, the whole legal process played itself out. I don't know why you guys. I didn't hit anybody. You know what? I got pulled over for changing lanes without signaling. That's what he pulled me over for. I wasn't even driving like an asshole, and I just happened to smell like tequila because you can't like. That's like being sprayed with a skunk. You can't really get rid of that once it's on you until you've like bathed a day or two. And yeah, no, he just took me to jail. And like, I was 16. That's the only thing that was lucky about it is I couldn't be tried as an adult. So like, there's a lot of just like chaining me or like chaining, yeah, like handcuffing me.
South Carolina.
Yeah. Like I'm all of a sudden on the side of the road, so like here like cracking rocks, you know.
That that's what happened immediately. It was like that
an hour later. Yeah, I just wake up on a work farm in Mississippi.
The law works quickly.
Yeah. Especially against white people out there in South Carolina. They
You're just sold to a farm immediately.
No, like they handcuffed me to like an office chair because it was New Year's Eve and all of the little mini cells, all of the cells in the tiny little jail that my hometown had were just full of people. Yeah. Just full of drunk assholes sleeping it off or whatever. So they handcuffed me. Like, I'm talking stacked like Jenga blocks. But yeah, they handcuffed me, and then it's just a bunch of cops just like berating me. It's like scared straight for like till the sun comes up. They're just like, what are you doing here? It's like, I was drinking and driving, and they're like, what are you drinking? And I was like, tequila, and they're like, what the fuck's tequila? And I'm like, you obviously know what tequila is, sir. You know, like tequila probably put a lot of people in here tonight. And and then it was just like this whole process of like having to go to court and pay fines to get my license back, and that's just how the legal system should work, is all I'm trying to say. No, I don't know. That haunts, like, it fucks up my car insurance and stuff. That's why I don't have a car now. Huh. I just said, fuck. Well, I mean, also, I just sold it to move to Austin, but regardless, I am not really excited about trying to get a car again, just because that shit kind of haunts you for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, every day I get in my car, I'm like, ugh. Like, if you decide to die today, like, I'll be real sad, but at least I won't have to drive, like, for a while.
You'll have a good excuse to not have a car for a minute.
Yeah, like, I kind of, it's just such a hassle. Like, it's really convenient and great, but yeah. I took, like, the bus for, like, a week because it wasn't working, and I was like, this is amazing, like, not having to drive and, like, being able to get where I'm going while I'm, like, reading a book is really cool.
It is nice. The bus system in this town is actually really great. It's very helpful. You can get to a lot of places. I've gotten to crazy locations.
This podcast brought to you by Capital Metro. It is amazing. And, like, that's the thing is, like, I have to...
That'll be a great sponsor, guys.
Right?
Get in that.
It's amazing in the sense of,
Capital Metro wants to, like, totally support a podcast about, like, three artists trying to be artists.
What are you guys talking about? Xanaxes and drunk driving? Yeah. Like, that's exactly the crowd we're going
Everyone's
for.
Everyone's told a poop story? Yeah. Done. We've discussed Nazis and horrifying dog eugenics. Yeah, this is a good one.
This is a good pitch. I like you guys. Here's a month pass on the Metro Rapid. How about that? That'll get you rolling. That'll get the
financing
going.
A life pass? Is that what you said?
A month pass. Oh, a life pass. That would be amazing. You know what? You'll never have to pay for the bus again. What is a $2.50 a day price right here? Yeah, no, that's amazing. I would love to do that, honestly, because then I would really have an excuse not to get a car. Because now that Uber's here, it's like, I'm like... this close to just getting a car and using Uber to pay the car payments and, like, the insurance and stuff.
That's
like,
what I was going to do. But, like, I heard that Uber and Lyft might not stay in Austin right now.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know
about them.
Well, it's like the city's tied up with the cabs, and they're losing money through these rideshare services. And it was like, at first the cops were, like, doing shit, like, holding stings and stuff for Uber drivers where they, like, cops would be undercover. And would, like, the thing is, like, I guess one of the clauses in being a rideshare service is that no actual money or cash can, like, no cash can trade hands.
Yeah.
So, like, cops would get Uber rides and then try and give the drivers money. And sometimes they would just leave money in the back seat and then there would be another cop waiting to pull that Uber driver over and catch them taking cash. And, like, that was how they were busting these guys.
That's pretty shitty.
Very shitty. But that was a push for a little bit.
That's, like, how all laws work, guys. It's like, they like one guy, and they help that one guy, and then when the other guy wants to do it, they're like, fuck you, other guy. Like, that's just how life works.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast. I don't remember which one.
one of those.
Maybe it's on the Real Radio?
But they were talking about...
Yeah.
I think it was Reply All, actually. They were talking about this law that was being, just, like, internet stuff, and how, like how, god damn it, how, like, they got Al Capone on, like, tax evasion.
They'll find that, like, loophole kind of thing to bust you on.
Yeah, and it's, like, something as, like, ubiquitous as, like, the, like, terms of agreement thing. Like, if you fuck up in, like, the way that everybody fucks up, but they have something on you, but they can't get you for that thing, they're gonna go for this, like, other route just to fuck you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy and really shitty. I'm not explaining it well.
No.
I'm sorry.
I totally know what you mean.
With reference to the internet?
Wait, what?
This is a law about the internet?
Well,
it's like the deep web, or
it's like the story was about this guy who, like, what was it? What was he a part of? He had a job for like Fox or what was it? It was like some Chronicle thing, and he got fired or they let him go, and he was really pissed off about it. And he had all of these like passwords and usernames to like change the headlines of like this website, and so he was like giving it to hackers and just like telling them like, hey guys, fuck their shit up. And so people were and
well, you can't do that.
Yeah, and it was like that big story, but attached to it are like all of these like other like little things, because they're trying to figure out the cost of that website had to pay in order to repair the site after those hackers had fucked it up, right? And originally the price was like $5,000 or something, but then it was like a misdemeanor, so it wasn't that big of a deal, right? That's how that works. And then so they were trying to like add.
You wouldn't
like,
know. You guys have never had to run in from the law guy.
I don't know how the law works. Everybody just passes, just lets me go. A cop drove me home.
Jesus. Is that what it's called?
You're right.
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor.
Misdemeanor, Elliot.
Coming from a guy who did his nickel on the inside.
Felony's the bad one. You don't want a felony.
Yeah, and so they were trying to like rack up the bill, and they got it to some like ridiculous number, like 100-something thousand, or like a few hundred thousand, or like $1 million, just so they could get this guy on a felony. And anyway, it's just like this crazy story that I listened to today. Sorry, guys.
Now that reminds me of when I first moved to town. I worked at a printing company, and right when I like started working there, they had just had a debacle like that, where like a former employee had been fired, and he got mad about it, and he came in and like messed with the website. And when they saw that he had done that and like given information to various people, like he went to jail, and they, you know, there were all these reparations to like fix it, because I mean the site was like messed up for, I want to say, like a couple of days, and nobody could figure out what was going on until somebody was like, this is an internal problem. Somebody had a password to do it. And it was like,
Well, I mean, that's what like NDAs are all about, you know, like non-disclosure agreements. I mean, that's, you sign that, and any sort of information sharing is something they'll just bring you out for. And
it's super scary.
Yeah.
I've had to sign them recently, and sometimes I'm like, do I never get to speak about this? Like, it's like, when does this end?
It's funny.
Right? Yeah, like, when does it end?
Because, I mean, we're in the arts to bring it in, and, like, everything I do, I want people to know about.
Thanks for listening to the Yes But Why podcast.